Hi, my name is Sarah Fender. I'm a principal program manager in the Azure Cybersecurity team. I'm very excited today to unveil the Azure Security Center, a new Azure service that helps you prevent, detect, and respond to threats. The Azure Security Center will provide unified security and threat management across all of your Azure resources. But let's start first by talking about the state of cybersecurity today. Cyber criminals have evolved. They've become much more organized. Their attack methodologies are becoming much more sophisticated and much more targeted. Meanwhile, enterprises really have failed to keep pace. They continue to employ traditional security measures, which have proven largely ineffective. They continue to focus on preventing attacks at the perimeter, which just isn't working today. And gaps between disconnected point solutions are creating gaps that are being exploited by attackers. The result is $400 billion in annual damages last year from cybercrime. And it's really becoming a top-of-mind issue for senior executives. You'll note it was the CEO of Target who went home after they disclosed that 110 million customer records, including 40 million credit card numbers, had been breached. Definitely a key issue for customers today. The move to the cloud is driving enterprises to rethink their approach to security. In addition to the security issues that enterprises face, those ones I just mentioned, the cloud introduces some new challenges. CIOs and CISOs are really still responsible for the security of cloud assets, but their role is changing. It's much harder for IT to assess the security of cloud resources, which are often managed by DevOps teams, often distributed across multiple Azure subscriptions, which are being spun up and spun down with a lot of frequency, and which include not just virtual machines and servers, which they're kind of more used to, but also PaaS services. And because they lack these critical security insights, their approach has been to resist the move to the cloud. They've pushed back and say, no, we're really not comfortable with you putting PII in the cloud or moving mission critical applications. But enterprises they're moving to the cloud anyway, and they're doing so to take advantage of the speed, scale, and economics that the cloud offers. And so increasingly, CIOs and CISOs are challenging their organizations to find ways to enable DevOps, to enable them to move to the cloud at their pace, but also to ensure that they've got the right security controls in place that the organization requires. Rethinking the security in the cloud also creates some new opportunities. You know, analytics are really the future of threat prevention and defense or detection, and cloud scale can make that easier and less expensive to achieve. Microsoft has this unmatched inventory of threat intelligence assets and feeds, and we can leverage our cloud security expertise to build more effective indicators of compromise and develop advanced threat detection algorithms, which can help us help customers more effectively detect threats. And ultimately, your enterprise can move to the cloud with more confidence without the fear of increased risk. Imagine with me for a moment a world in which you could get a central view of security state of all of your Azure resources. At a glance, you could readily see, readily verify that you have the right security controls in place, and you can quickly identify those resources that require additional attention. You could say yes to agility by enabling DevOps with policy-driven recommendations that actually guide resource owners through the process of implementing the required security controls, effectively taking the guesswork out of cloud security. What if you could stay ahead of current and emerging threats with an integrated, analytics-driven approach? What if you could detect threats more quickly and respond more rapidly, reducing false alarms? With the Azure Security Center, you can do all of that and more. You can understand the security state of your Azure resources across all of your Azure subscriptions. You can take control of cloud security with policies that enable you to recommend security controls and also to monitor the security state to ensure that those policies have been implemented and executed and that those controls continue to operate as configured. The Azure Security Center makes it super easy for DevOps teams to deploy integrated solutions from Microsoft and from partner security solutions. Today, the Azure has a fantastic marketplace where you can choose from a range of different partner solutions, including security solutions. We take it one step further in the Azure Security Center, recommending and enabling you to rapidly provision and deploy these partner solutions. The Azure Security Center will help you find threats with advanced analysis, looking across all of your security-related events, including these partner solutions that you have deployed, layering on Microsoft Global Threat Intelligence assets and expertise. You can respond and recover from incidents should they occur faster with real-time security alerts. And if you need to, we can enable you to export security events to a security information and event management system. A lot of our customers have those on-premise today for further analysis or archiving purposes. We enable you to bring with you those security solutions that you've come to trust on-premises, but in a more integrated way, closing those gaps that I referred to earlier. With the Azure Security Center, partner solutions, as I said a moment ago, are recommended. They're provisioned really within a couple of clicks, and alerts are automatically collected and analyzed. It's truly a seamless process. We also are taking this new approach to threat detection. So I've sort of referred to this analytics-driven approach a couple of times, but it's really critical to help detect and defend against threats today. You know, attackers take actions and they make mistakes, and all of these things are logged. And some of these are known to be malicious. We refer to these as high fidelity kinds of alerts. An example of this would be malware is detected on a machine. That's something that definitely needs to be addressed. And some, though, are just suspicious. They're not known to be malicious yet, but it's possible. We kind of refer to these as low fidelity events. So we really have to be on the lookout for both kinds of events, both kinds of activities. To detect advanced attacks, we correlate these suspicious events while building some context around them. So we enrich them with threat intelligence, things like indicators of compromise from leading threat intelligence providers, looking at passive DNS history, geolocation, domain reputation, activity across all of our Azure tenants, and then also history within your particular customer environment. And finally, we apply security expertise and analytics using things like role-based analysis, anomaly detection, behavioral analysis, and profiling. And this new analytics-driven approach reduces signal noise, I've referred to a couple of times, all of these low-fidelity signals that you don't really know what to do with, and which really, they create all this noise that makes it hard to detect where real threats might exist. That's definitely one benefit of this analytics-driven approach. And the other, of course, is to detect threats that might have gone undetected otherwise, things you might not have noticed or responded to. This could include a wide range of things, brute force attempts on services such as RDP and SSH, compromised machines that have bots or Trojan horses or rootkits, failed exploitation events on services using crash dump analysis. That's a good way to detect activity from a bad actor. It can help detect OWASP's top 10 attacks, things like SQL injections and cross-site scripting, detect data that's being exfiltrated and anomalous access to storage accounts, weak passwords and web application vulnerabilities, and an advanced malware that may not be detected by your anti-malware solution. So let's take a look at the Azure Security Center in action. We're looking at the Azure Start Board now, and you'll see that there's a new security tile. We'll click on that, and it'll launch the Azure Security Center. You'll see that the Security Center is split into two pieces. There's the prevention part at the top and detection and response at the bottom. But all of the information that you need to know about the security state of your Azure resources is all in this one central security management experience. Let's start, though, by taking a look at the security policy. So your organization can set a security policy for each of its subscriptions. We'll first enable data collection, which is an incredibly powerful feature. It automatically collects security configurations and events from across your Azure environment. So from the virtual machines that you're running, from partner solutions that you have deployed, it aggregates all of that information for further analysis. And you get to choose where that data that's collected is stored. So we know for many customers, data location is a critical part of their privacy policy or approach. And so if you want your data, your log data, to be stored in US West, along with the resources that are housed there, you can specify that. You can also determine which kinds of recommendations you'd like to see as part of the policy. So by default, we'll show you things like missing patches, baseline rules that may have drifted, anti-malware recommendations and events, things related to encryption, so VM encryption via BitLock or TDE for SQL database. recommended certain network security configurations like access control lists on endpoints or network security groups, partner solutions like web application firewalls or next generation firewalls. So you can customize the policy based on your particular company security policies and requirements, or based on the need of a particular set of resources inside of your subscription. So for example, you may have a subscription that you use primarily for dev tasks. And so while you do want to ensure that basic security is enabled on those virtual machines, you may not require, let's say, a web application firewall for that test or dev test environment. So you can turn that off in the policy, and then you won't see recommendations or monitoring information relative to web application firewall for the resources inside of that subscription. So you have the ability to tailor the policy. Once that policy has been configured, you can monitor the security state of your various resources against that policy. And we can see here at a glance that we've got some pinks and some oranges. So there's definitely some stuff that requires our attention here. And when we click in, we get a list of our various resources, our virtual machines and networking and SQL at the top. And we can see some basic information about what areas might require our attention. And at the bottom, we actually see a complete list of all of the resources and all of our various subscriptions. And so we can drill down to view information about a particular resource. We can see here we're all green on this particular virtual machine and SQL Server. Great. But that we've got a couple of web apps that might require our attention. So you can drill down on the particular resource level, or you can start at this more aggregated view, which is where we'll click in. So we'll start first on the virtual machines. And we can see here that we've got some virtual machines with anti-malware not enabled or not installed, and that's on as part of our policy. We can see that we've got some virtual machines that are missing patches, some that have some health indicators, some tasks that are required. In this case, they need to reboot following the application of security updates. We can see that we've got some computers or some VMs that have drifted. So they've got baseline rules configurations that don't match the recommendations, and some that are sitting in a completely healthy state. We also get to see a list of our virtual machines here. And at a glance, we can see the various security controls that are in place for those virtual machines. So we can click in to view additional information about that resource. We're going to look up here at the top again at that more aggregated view. So we can see in this case that we've got four virtual machines that do not have anti-malware enabled. Not only can we monitor and view basic information about the security state, we can see that we have these virtual machines that need anti-malware enabled, but we can actually enable anti-malware right from this experience. And we can do that for all of those virtual machines at one time, which is really pretty cool. Today, you have to enable that on a VM by VM basis. So I'm presented with a list of integrated solutions. In this case, we've got some Microsoft first-party solutions and some partner solutions as well. And I click in to view some additional information about that particular solution and some basic settings that are required. When I click OK here, it's going to actually install anti-malware on all four of those virtual machines. And I'll now be able to view information about the anti-malware health state. So anti-malware scans are running, and any anti-malware events will be surfaced as part of my security alerts. I can also see, let me drill down here into our baseline rules. So here I can see that I've got a number of machines that have baseline OS configurations that don't match the recommended configurations. And I can click in to view additional information about that set of configurations. So I can see here that the audit policy does not match the recommendation, which I can view here, additional information about why it failed, what the current setting is, that sort of thing. So I can make the required configuration changes to get my virtual machine in compliance. So there are options relative to networking, SQL, and applications, and many more additional Azure services will be available here in the future. If we click in on the networking side, we saw these same recommendations were turned on in our policy, but here we're seeing recommendations relative to access control lists on endpoints, and network security groups. And we can actually click in, just as we did in the virtual machine experience, to configure network security groups on the set of resources. For SQL, we can see recommendations related to auditing. So we want to make sure that auditing is on for all of your SQL virtual machines. You can see here in red that you've got some that don't have that enabled, and we can click in to configure that. The same with transparent data encryption. So that might be something you'd want to require for your SQL databases, and you can monitor the state of that here. On the application side, you can see things like you've got some exposed web applications that are not protected by a web application firewall. You can also see, again, some basic health information. So in this case, we can see that the web application firewall is currently down. That's going to require our attention. So we can ensure not only that we sort of start with the secure state, but that we maintain that in the controls and the configurations that we have deployed initially, that those remain intact. So that's sort of the all-up monitoring view. But what I wanted to also show you is this recommendations view. So, you know, the IT would generally come in, they'd set some security policies, they'd be able to monitor the general security state using the views that we just looked at. This view, though, is really for those resource owners, for more of the DevOps kind of roles. This is this will be their to-do list. This is the list of things that they need to do to get their environment in compliance with the security policy. I talked earlier about sort of removing the guesswork from cloud security. This is kind of where the rubber meets the road, so to speak. So I can see that for my web application, and this only shows me recommendations related to resources that I own, I can see that there's a recommendation to deploy a web application firewall. And we took a look at the integrated partner experience a moment ago in anti-malware. This is another example of that kind of fully integrated partner provisioning flow. So here we're getting the recommendation of surfacing that we deploy a web application firewall. And we can either add an existing firewall that we've already got up and running, or we can create a new one. And again, we're seeing a list of those integrated partners. We click Create. And we're presented with a request to provide some information to just spin up the web application or to spin up the virtual machine itself. Same kind of information you'd see if you were just building a new virtual machine in Azure. But what you'll also see is this new WAF configuration. So here we're requesting a couple of pieces of additional information that will be used to actually complete the configuration of the appliance. So the first step spins up the virtual machine, and the second set of information is used to actually provision and enable the web application firewall that's sitting on that virtual machine. So we click OK, and the virtual machine spins up, and the web application firewall is configured. Again, just a couple of clicks. And then what we'll see is a new task here. So here it's actually walking me through the process of wiring up that appliance inside my Azure network. And so you'll see that we've got a couple of web applications here that need the traffic rerouted. And by simply clicking OK, I have the Azure Security Center will do all of that wiring for me to enable the web application firewall in the configuration that I've specified. So pretty cool and seamless process. And then what we're not seeing on the back end is that logs from that web application firewall are now fully integrated as well. We'll start automatically gathering and analyzing those and surfacing important alerts to you in the security alerts experience, which is kind of a good segue. Let's pop over now, shift gears a bit, and talk about the detections. So you'll see here that we're surfacing a list of prioritized security alerts to the customer. And that's based on first the collection of security events from across your environment and from your partner solutions, and then layering on that analysis that I've talked about a couple of times now. And you'll see that we get this, again, this prioritized set of security alerts. And some of those can be kind of those more high fidelity events that I referenced earlier. In this case, malware is detected on some of my virtual machines. That's something that's going to need my immediate attention. I need to get that malware cleaned off. And so I can see the list of impacted virtual machines, and I can drill down to find additional information and some recommendations about how to go about mitigating that risk. I can also see alerts that are influenced or generated in part, at least, based on threat intelligence that we're able to layer on from our vast global threat intelligence repository or kind of knowledge base. So in this case, we can see that we've got a couple of virtual machines with traffic to known malicious IP addresses. So in this case, you know, Microsoft maintains this list of malicious IP addresses, and we're able to look at the network traffic and detect some stuff that are pretty good indicators that that an attack is in progress. And so we again provide you with some recommendations about how you might want to mitigate this. And in this particular case, we're suggesting that you blacklist this particular known bad IP address. Another kind of cool thing here is that we're seeing that we've got a couple of resources with the same issue. That's sometimes important to know in order to understand how an attacker might be sort of trying to navigate across your environment. We can also see things like brute force attacks, attempts that were detected, and some information about how to mitigate those. Here's an interesting attack that was detected based on an exploitable process that was detected on, in this case, MySQL Server, virtual machine running SQL Server. So, and just another kind of attack that we're able to detect. And you can see there's sort of a long range of those and a variety of sources. Some of those, again, high fidelity alerts, and some based on correlation of lower fidelity alerts, some that are layering on global threat intelligence to help you detect those threats that you might not be aware of otherwise. A number of customers are using the Azure Security Center today as part of our private preview. Carrier and Otis are part of UTC Building and Industrial Systems. They're a unit of United Technologies Corporation. You may be familiar with them. They're a leading provider to the aerospace and building systems industries worldwide. The Otis team found that using a patchwork of security management tools was really hindering their agility, made deploying new Azure assets pretty difficult. With Azure Security Center, the Otis team will be able to stay agile and reduce the number of security management tools it uses to get visibility into security across Azure. The insight and analytics provided by Azure Security Center will help the Otis team detect active network threats more effectively. We're very excited about the opportunity to help customers like United Technologies prevent, detect, and respond to threats in Azure. Thanks so much for watching.